Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick, and it's time for this week's Friday Morning GM with co-host Voss Larikos. Voss, how you doing?
Doing well. Looking forward to opening day.
Me too. Headed out there in about 35 minutes, I hope. So we're kind of speeding through this show, and we won't have the long thing, but we have a lot to discuss here. It's a lot of smaller topics today, starting with the new rules that are now out. Now, we're just going to focus on two of these. I think there were additional as well, but the first is the hip drop tackle. And there's been a lot of discussion of this week. Just like to hear your thoughts on it, Voss.
I think it's a good move. The injury rate on tackles of that sort were very high, and it does make things more difficult on the defensive players, but form tackling is going to be the way forward. To me, you know, just to be able to lose, or the possibility of losing a Mark Andrews for half the season on a play like that, to eliminate that is a good step.
Yeah, definitely a good move from a player safety perspective. I think one of the problems the NFL is going to have is practically implementing this thing. But personally, I don't care how many officials it takes to work an NFL game. If they need three additional booth guys, and one is just going to be the pass interference guy, and one is just going to be the, you know, noting plays that require either a penalty at the time or a look by the league to see if there should be a fine, don't have any problem with that. However many people it takes to officiate from the booth is fine. I don't even mind a slight delay in the game to get it right. I think that's really the most important thing. The point has been made, and I think correctly, that there are a few Ravens who definitely twist down on the tackle a good amount. Generally speaking, you know, guys who don't stand people up and drive them back tend to be twisters, and they tend to be the players who use this more. So Patrick Queen was a little bit of a twister. Justin Madubuike in pursuing the quarterback can be a little bit of a twister. And it's generally something I note as I go through the draft process is who's a twister versus who's a stuffer.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, it's probably going to take a little time for the players to adjust, as they did to the horse collar tackle. What was that, about 10 years ago? Maybe a little longer than that. You know, safety's the name of the game. You don't want your marquee players hurt on a tackle that is just inherently dangerous.
Yep. And we've heard numbers as high as 25 times as likely to be hurt by a hip drop tackle as by others. No doubt there will be an increase in offense from it. The NFL is at a good point for allowing an increase in offense after a big defensive year this last year, reduced points significantly. I think that also plays into the other rule they've got, which is the new kickoff rule. Also a player safety rule. Mm-hmm. Very complex. The kickoffs will not look like kickoffs you've ever seen before. Mm-hmm. I want to go through this, Voss. If you have the detail, you can do it. Otherwise, I'll
roll please. Right.
Okay.
Roll through it. Yep.
No, real quickly, the kicking team will kick off from its own 35-yard line, but the only one back there at the 35-yard line is going to be the kicker, which I haven't yet heard what happens when there's wind, because, you know, wind blows the ball off the tee. Somebody sometimes has to hold it, and the only other time that changes is on onside kicks, which are only permitted now in the fourth quarter and have to be declared to the officials before the play. Okay, so the kick comes from the 35. The other 10 members of the kicking team stand at the opposing team's 40-yard line. And this is a reduced ramp-up speed before they, you know, start running and whatnot. And those 10 players can't start until the ball is caught or lands in the landing zone, which is between the 0 and the 20-yard line. So the goal line and the 20-yard line. A minimum of 9 members of the receiving team have to line up between their own 30 and 35 yard lines. So you're going to be in a pretty good place to block immediately as soon as that ball lands. And it's a 9-on-10 situation. So it's not, you know, really one-sided in that regard. The receiving team can have either 0, 1, or 2 players inside their own 30 yard line to receive the kickoff. Okay. And so they have some flexibility there But two is the most. And so if you put one back there because of the proximity of players, it may create opportunities for effective onside kicks that we may see more of this year. The play doesn't begin until the ball is caught, hits the ground in the landing zone, et cetera. A kick that hits the landing zone must be returned. No more of the fair catch stuff to bring it out to the 25-yard line, which was rarely, frankly, less often than I thought being used last year.
Right. Yeah, it didn't really catch on too well. Yeah.
Yeah. A kick that bounces in the landing zone, goes in the end zone, can be kneeled for a touchback, or it must be otherwise be returned. If a kick doesn't reach the landing zone, and there will be a lot of pooching, and remember the kicker is way back from the 35 again, then the opposing team, the receiving team, gets possession at the 40-yard line. Same rules for out-of-bounds like kicks as far as
it. Right. Yeah, same rule for going out-of-bounds. That's what I was going to say. Took the words out of my mouth.
And the if the ball enters the end zone in the air, then the receiving team can return it or kneel it and take the ball at the 30-yard line.
At the 30, which is right.
Yeah, so it's definitely – the kicking team has to kind of make sure that they're pretty accurate with their landing zone. If the ball is kicked – okay, already got that. No fair catches anymore, and we talked about the onside kicks. But anyway, it's going to look completely different, and it's going to be actually fun to see.
Yeah, I'm excited to see it too. You know, it's exciting – kickoff returns used to be a very exciting element of the game that reached their lowest, rate of return last season. And this is apparently modeled after the XFL rules, where I think they were up in the 90% returns. It should be exciting. I think Andy Reid was on record saying that, 230 some plays are basically not consequential previously. And I think it'll probably benefit the Ravens over the long term because they are an organization under John Harbaugh that prioritizes special teams more than maybe any other.
Yeah, good point. And with Justin Tucker, you'd hope the accuracy in hitting that landing zone is going to be very high. So probably a good combination right there. Well, let's turn. We're going to start with the glasses 1/16th full kind of look at free agents here by talking at about the Kadar Holman signing, a fairly small one. Now this is a kind of a Ravens under the radar signing that probably Kadar Holman ends up being a practice squad player, but he'll be 30 in September, came into the league in 2019 with the Packers. So he was an older rookie at that point, had remarkable speed, 4.38 speed and 6 feet tall. That's a combination that usually doesn't miss at cornerback. If the guy comes out of school, I mean, usually that guy has some playing time. I'm not saying they always succeed, but it has not translated into productive cornerback play in his career. He's got only 243 career snaps.
Yeah. I think it's mostly a special teams move. He does have some extensive experience on special teams. The Ravens need bodies at cornerback after losing Darby and Yassin. So maybe he steps into the Yassin role, depending on Armour Davis and whoever else is acquired. I always get a little bit intrigued when the Ravens add a corner like this. I think Westry, I believe, was a guy from a few years back. And then the one they really hit on, and this is going back more than a decade, but Kerry Williams was a player similar sort of a pedigree that the Ravens found and developed and became a good player for them.
Yeah, Kerry Williams, definitely a good one. Most of these will of course, not work out. Ronald Darby, an older guy at the end of his career, they gave a chance to after, he'd been on the outs and did very well. Of course, Kadar Holman, it'll just be interesting. I'm expecting we'll see him at camp, and there's some significant flaw. I have not watched the game that he played. Literally 30% of his snaps came in one start versus Atlanta in 2023. Mm-hmm. I didn't go back to watch that. I really want to, but I probably just, competing for that fourth or fifth cornerback spot, probably the fifth, and more likely projects the practice squad at the start of the season, be a guy who hopefully the Ravens can call on when needed at corner. Hopefully they won't call on him because it won't be needed, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep, just adding some bodies. Trayvon Mullen, I believe, is also still contract around with the team. So, you throw a couple of dart throws at reclamation projects, and you hope one of them pays off.
Would be really good. Now, you have some details on the contracts. I know that the Ravens have signed recently. Tell us about that.
Yes. So let's begin with Arthur Mollett. 2 years, $2 million per season. I thought it was a pretty fair deal.
reasonably fair. I would have expected a slight premium to the vet minimum in his case. He got that and maybe even a little bit more. I'm not sure how much of that counts towards the cap, but that's a significant issue. It may be that it's 1.4 million or thereabouts that they have as incremental cap cost over the course of 2 years, which wouldn't be too bad. But it'd be nicer if it were less than that.
As I mentioned last week, I like Mullett as a player. I'm concerned that that may be portend that Kyle Hamilton will not play as much as the big nickel, and I hope that's not the case. The other one, or another one, is Chris Board, veteran salary benefit, which is that rule that allows them to carry a lesser cap hit. So it's 1 year on a $1.2 million cap hit. I think that's fine for a backup linebacker as well.
Yeah, and definitely kind of the Ravens way to get a guy who can play a little bit of defense for you in an emergency and hopefully you don't need him, but can play a four unit special teams core role. And that's Board. He's on the punt return, kickoff and kickoff return teams, all four.
Yep, absolutely. And then Josh Jones, which was apparently a value signing. As we mentioned last week, PFF projected a 2 year contract at $6.5 million per year. The Ravens were able to land the deal, ink the deal at 1 year, $1.79 million. So that's well below projection. Also, I thought John Harbaugh's comments at the owners' meetings were a little bit interesting. Some took away from that they thought Jones is going to be primarily competing at left guard based on what Harbaugh had to say.
He did play left guard, I believe, in the first game of the year against the Ravens, not in the playoff game, I don't think. No, that was Juice Scruggs. But in the first game of the year against the Ravens, he played. I don't think that's how that'll end up. At least I don't think that's how they would like it to end up. I think they want him to be a tackle. Now, he's had a lot of penalties, as we talked about, I think, last week. So 41% more penalties per snap than Simpson. So in terms of him being a project to work through, he certainly is. He also has, I think, more of a body to play tackle than guard. But the feet have been a question at times, and he's just more of an apple than a pear-shaped guy. Pear-shaped guys tend to play guard, and they tend to be, the low center of gravity serves them very well in there. And Jones has longer arms, not maybe not quite what you'd want out of a tackle at 33 7/8, but long enough certainly to get by. And he could play right guard maybe if the Ravens needed him there and he had the strength. But it's interesting because, teams don't give up. And the Arizona Cardinals, who have the track record, one of the worst track records of tackle in the history of the National Football League, they haven't had a good tackle in 30 years. They haven't had any kind of guy who's been playing. I forget who the one was who retired, but Dan Dierdorf is the greatest tackle by far. And the second guy is a guy who played for about 12 years and retired in 1994. And the best tackle they've had in between is Jared Veld here, probably. I mean, it's really, right. They haven't had anybody. That gives you an idea.
No. Yeah, Arizona's been a leaky offensive line for as long as I can remember, for sure.
Yeah. So, and they gave up on Jones after 3 years for a fifth-round draft pick. So it's a little, red flag should be alarm should be going off.
I didn't pay him $6.5 million.
There you go. Did you have a third player? Was it or who,
that was it? That was the three: Mullett, Board, and Jones. Yep.
There you go. Well, now we got to get why the grass is 15-16 empty right now, and that's the loss of Jadeveon Clowney to the Panthers. He'd been on a whirlwind tour. Never really felt great about him re-signing with the Ravens, other than the both team and player both saying, I think actually his player's agent saying he was happy in Baltimore. But Clowney, a chance to go home to South Carolina.
Yeah, so that apparently was a big part of the deal, where he's gone back home. He's had apparently some medical issues maybe in his family, and he wants to be close to home. He's half an hour from his family residence now. So, 2 years, $20 million, up to $24 million. I think he's going to be hard to replace. I really do. Fifth best pass rush win rate last season in the entire NFL at 25%. And that's while he was being double teamed 25% of the time. For comparison, Kyle Van Noy also had a very good year, 18th best, 19% pass rush win rate, 20% double team, so 5% less. And I also have some splits for Clowney that are pretty pretty interesting.
Very good player for the Ravens. Obviously did a lot to drive this pass rush, which really...
Didn't you know it's possible to get THC shipped right to your door? Mood delivers premium 100% federally legal THC directly to you. I'm talking about delicious high potency gummies, top shelf flower, home baked cookies, vapes, anything you'd find at a dispensary. You can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door. And every Mood product is made from pesticide-free cannabis grown on America's best small farms at prices that won't destroy your wallet. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code RAVENS. So head to mood.com/ravens, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code RAVENS when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
Access big savings every day, all in the Kroger app. Get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breast for $2.49 a pound. Then find low prices on thousands of items like sparkling ice water, Kroger brand chips, and more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Did get driven as much from the edge as it was from the inside. I don't think Madubuike really drove the pass rush. I think he was one of the great cleanup players you'll ever see. Pearson Jones both had a hand in driving that pass rush. So, you know, Ravens are in a good position that they have a three to make two interior that does not force them to want to kick OLBs inside. They start off with Ajabo and Owe. Owe, who is playing at a high level. And honestly, I think he could be very close to Clowney in terms of a pressure rate this year and appears to be purely on the rush side. They really need a Sam guy. And Van Noy would make a ton of sense. I think, you know, by not signing Clowney, the chance goes up of Van Noy resigning.
I would definitely agree with that. Kick Van Noy be a great Sam. I think still think you probably need more at rush. Tavius Robinson has been floated about as a player in line to see more snaps. As far as he's pretty good edge setter, but as far as a pass rusher, 9 pressures and 162 pass rush snaps per PFF, 40 below sub 45 PF pass rush grade. So that's not his forte. Back to Clowney splits, Ken. QB pressure with Clowney on the field last season, 43.3%, off the field, 36.4%. Sack rate, 11% versus 4%. And they blitzed 10% less while Clowney was on the field. Without Clowney on the field, they blitzed 30%. With him, it was 19%.
Yep, 11.0% sacks, 49 sacks when he was on the field in, let's see, how many was it? 446 passing attempts. Sometimes when a stat like this comes out, I hope there's not a differential, because an actual sack, there's no question about that. Whether it's an actual sack, there's some question of how you know, give out credit for that thing. All right. Very cool. The loss of Clowney obviously hurts tremendously, but I think the Ravens will continue to do what they've done for a couple of years. They'll probably try and draft an edge at some point, but with cornerback and wide receiver being significant needs as well, they're going to compete for draft capital tremendously, I would think. And I don't know exactly where they get their edge player in this draft. And I know they have had a lot of success with the bargain bin.
I'd agree. It might be a situation where they want to add two veterans, whether that be Van Noy and then maybe a Bud Dupree or someone like that, if they can sign him for cheap. Who still had a little bit of gas in the tank. I think he had about 6 sacks or so last year. And he does fit that rush linebacker mold as far as size and shape and power profile.
Right. And, you know, the Ravens are probably looking for a guy that it always helps to have one more pass rusher, even who's just purely situational. But it wouldn't surprise me if the Ravens are also looking for a guy who could play some early downs as well. The combination of Tavius Robinson and
Harrison.
Yeah. It does not strike fear into opponents in terms of their passing game on first down. So it's something where, you know, it has to be more scheme driven to get pressure on first down. Usually often, you know, it relates to Harrison dropping to cover in those situations. And it's just, it's not an ideal situation to have. So it wouldn't surprise me if they wanted to get a guy to play first down who could give him a little bit of juice.
Yep. I could definitely see it. I would prefer to go the veteran route there at outside backer. And save that draft capital for those other offensive tackle, wide receiver, corner, as we mentioned many times.
Yeah. Let's look, take a look at the Ravens have lost, obviously, 11 free agents, with the Clowney signing being number 11. But just to refresh, Duvernay, Simpson, Stone, Edwards, Darby, Tyler Ott, Queen, Phillips, Zeitler, and Huntley have all left. Nobody should be surprised about this, by the way. It's going to happen. We knew it was coming. We knew there's a huge free agency thing, and we frankly ignored it in terms of some signings last year that used a lot of 2025 capital through a combination of void years, mostly through void years in the Beckham deal, being a huge portion of that. But hey, you got to pay the piper. The cap is real. And we're finding out right now that you can be a good team and be very constrained in terms of what you can do. So this shouldn't come as a surprise to any Ravens fans. And they make the sad pouty face as soon as this starts happening. So, you know, what are the Ravens doing? You know, get on the credit card already.
There's a graphic out there. I think it was put out yesterday, the improvement index, and it charts every team to plus, I think it's 100 or minus 100. The Ravens are minus 75 currently, league worst. Dallas is second worst at minus 45. KC is minus 15. Cincinnati plus 15 for reference.
You know, what would be fun is to get whoever created that stat on and really vet how that thing is created. Obviously the Ravens will, do what they can to get cheap players. DaCosta's made no bones about that. He's, you know, he's even said it. We need to get some inexpensive players in the draft and through the UDFA process. I think that'll be fun. I think it'll be a good opportunity for rookies here this year, and probably a better opportunity they've had in recent years, though they're very good at positionally targeting players to give them an opportunity, like Mitchell last year. For a lot of the priority UDFA players, you know, some small school defensive linemen, maybe an offensive lineman they want to give a chance from a small school to make the team as towards the end of the roster and still have a real chance to potentially play this year. So I think it makes the Ravens a good place to go.
Definitely agree with that. They give opportunity to UDFAs as well as anybody, I would say. It's going to be a very important draft, and not only to get good players, but to get good players at specific skill sets, specific positions, specific roles. We knew that was happening. One thing that maybe is going to work in their favor, since it looks like we have a little more time, rule change wise, there could be some more spots on the roster. One is they made the rule that the practice squad QB3 can be elevated, unlimited elevations, so you don't have to carry your emergency QB3 on the 53 anymore. The other is the two. Yep. So that was a pretty good one. And the other one was two players can go on IR with a designation to return before finalizing the 53. So that's two more potential handshake, not needed handshakes.
Yeah, that actually hurts the Ravens, I'm convinced. So the Ravens have been the unquestioned masters of manipulating the extended roster. They've always had players, Urban, Levine, Worley, so many others, it's not even funny, who are automatic cuts. Yeah, McPhee, yeah, if you go back. And who are automatic cuts, but it's not because the Ravens don't love them. They love them. They're part of their plans. It's because they're on the handshake crew. Well, now what the league has done is they've said, we're going to reduce the importance of the handshake crew by adding two players. And I, you know, if I were the Ravens, I'm not even sure if I want to have them on the roster there, but if you don't, then some other team can pick them up and, you know, you can't play that game as much. But I mean, if Ravens could save cap at the edge of the roster, which is something they've done in the past. The problem is there's just more spots around the league where other teams might now pick up their players. The other thing to look at with regard to that, the extended roster, is how much use the Ravens actually get out of that during the season. Well, the Ravens used all eight of their IR DTR spots last year, all eight.
Yeah.
And in fact, I believe the number was reduced to 8 as it was last year because of the Ravens. They said the Ravens are a team that is going to manipulate this and they're going to take advantage of it. Anyway, they reduced the number of total IRTTR spots. The Ravens still used them all. I don't think any other team in the league did, but I don't have that information for certain. In any case, going 8 for 8 is pretty damn good in terms of making use of that extended roster. And this just doesn't help the Ravens.
Yeah, I mean, it agreed. This is an efficiency that they had that is not as – they'll just have the capability of being quite as efficient. I do remember that last year when we first started the show, I was starting to count how many IRDTRs are they going to use. And we're kind of saying, they're not going to have any problems. It's a long, you know, they have lots of ways to go. And they ended up using them all. So, you know, they're still going to have an advantage there, I think, as far as roster manipulation, but not as big of one as they did previously.
Yeah, I did not hear about any change to the number of IRDTRs for this year. So if that remains at 8, that still is a pretty beefy potential set. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I didn't hear that either. I think it's still trickling out some of the rule changes slowly.
Okay. All right. Well, let's go to the last thing I want to talk about today, which is the comp pick status for the Ravens. So as lousy as this UFA season has been to live through and you know, this leaking of an enormous amount of talent that we knew was coming, the Ravens are now +7 in terms of compensatory free agents that have been lost versus gained.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So they have room to make some acquisitions without, you know, dipping into that. The other good piece of positive information on the compensatory picks, Jadeveon Clowney is going to earn a 5th round comp, projected to earn a 5th, which is an upgrade to the 6th round comp that was previously. So they moved up their round.
Yeah, I did not expect that. I did not expect them to get once I heard the Clowney money, I thought it'd probably be a 5, but I did not expect them to be able to improve it. I expect maybe one of those 6s to turn into a 7 if they'd made a signing later, and that still may happen. But they currently got 4, 5, 6, 6 for Queen, Clowney, Zeitler, Stone, and Simpson, offset by Henry. So the Zeitler pick, as OTC has it now, is offset by the Zeitler loss is offset by the Henry signing. So that's still a lot. And the Dolphins are the only other team which has similar and probably a little bit more total draft capital. The Dolphins got 3, 3, and 7 right now for their comp picks. But the Ravens, you know, it's time for the other AFC North teams to complain again about how well the Ravens have done in terms of comp picks.
Yeah. Joe Ortiz made the comment when he first was hired by the Chargers that you have to start the comp pick cycle. So once you have extra picks, then you have extra UFAs, then you have more comp picks, but you have to initiate that cycle by letting guys go. I thought that was a pretty interesting way to look at it.
Yeah, actually you have to draft well too. If you don't have players that anybody wants to sign for big money, you can't get comp picks. And as much as we've been through this horrible UFA season of losing a lot of talent, the other side of that coin, being the Washington Commanders, is a hell of a lot worse, where you're signing everybody else's player for more than market value, or you're the Bears and you have to trade for a guy mid-season because you know they won't sign with you at the end of the season. You know, that's what Bears fans say. No, nobody's going to let him get to free agency. We can't sign him. Otherwise, we have to trade for him in order to get him. And, you know, even if he was a free agent, he wouldn't want to come play for us.
Right. Yeah, no, it's... You know, continuing to draft well is always going to be the lifeblood of the organization. No question about it. You know, the Rams got away with the F them picks, and they seem to be on the rise, but I don't think that's replicable. I really don't.
Right. I don't either. And, I honestly, just in terms of the chatter and the backbiting it creates, I hate that the Rams were able to do it successfully. I just hate it. But at least I want to see that the Rams, you know, on the flip side, have to pay for it with, you know, some years of being poor. And they did not. I mean, there were really unusual situation where they didn't really have to pay for it as much. But if you're depending on Puka Nacua and, you know, a 5th round draft pick to bail you out on that, you got to have a really exceptional front office to hope to be able to replicate that.
Yeah. And the coaching staff. And the Rams, too, they drafted a lot of players and they hit a lot of players in the mid rounds. It was just the early rounds where they were trading away. They probably drafted better in the mid rounds than a lot of teams, which allowed them to rebuild faster.
Yeah, he certainly made good use of their capital. By the way, I want to plug an upcoming show here. We have a Dr. Craig Tanio coming on to talk about the value the Ravens have gotten above expected in terms of the draft. And we've had this on other shows. A guy named Vandeman, Charles Vandeman, has been on before to plug his model. This one is really interesting, and it completely debunks the lottery ticket notion of late round picks. Yes, there's risk involved in late round picks, but the Ravens have very consistently gotten much more value than the rest of the league in terms of those late round picks. And I think his spreadsheet on this is very impressive. And this will be a video that we'll be looking at. So I think that'll be a lot of fun. And Voss, if you want, we could have him on this show to talk through it if you think it's worth it.
Sure, absolutely. That sounds very interesting. I'd like to definitely.
All right. All right. Well, Voss, tell folks where they can talk football with you online.
Sure. I am at Vasilis Beatdown on Twitter, X, V-A-S-I-L-I-S Beatdown. I am co-managing editor and author for Baltimore Beatdown blog.
All right. We're in a hurry to get out to opening day right now. Very excited about the Orioles season starting up. So we're going to call it here. For Voss Larikos, this is Ken McCusick saying goodbye. We'll talk to you next week on Friday Morning GM.
At Ritual, we know what goes into the holiday season. The potluck planning, the gift giving, the spreadsheets. So this new year, take a moment for yourself with science-backed support that puts you first. So whether you're focusing on supporting foundational health with a clean vegan multivitamin or supporting your gut health with Symbiotic Plus, do it with 30% off your first month at ritual.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate. And a watch or tap. Also on them.
Service plan required for watch or tap. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.